There is never a chance meeting with God. You may think that this is just an encounter, but God planned both the time and place.
The appointed encounter, what does it mean? The appointed encounter, Jesus.
The Appointed Encounter podcast delves into familiar Bible stories to help us see and know when we have come to our destined meeting with the Lord. And now here's your host, Yvette Houghton.
Hello, and welcome to The Appointed Encounter. I am Yvette Houghton, your host, and I am so glad that you have decided to tune in again this week. Today, I have sitting with me and participating with me my husband, Harold Houghton, and my daughter, Nia Wilkes. I'm so excited to have them. They have been such an encouragement to me throughout this process, and it is just wonderful to have them sit and participate with me and kind of share their thoughts as I begin talking to us today. John 4, still with the Samaritan encounter. And we're to verse 15. And so let's just continue on. My husband, again, is the one that you hear in the music that is being played at the beginning. So, honey, thank you. He wrote the lyrics and sang them. And our pastor, Darius Good, is the one who did the music and produced it. And so thank you, Pastor. He is also the voiceover that introduces me. Pastor Good, thank you so much. But let's move right along with our lesson on today in John chapter 4, verse 15. Did you guys want to say hello before we start?
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Say hello. Yeah, she's trying to...
See, I have a crazy family, and so you hear that we talk crazy about each other. So, you know, he did say hello, though. He had his Madea voice going there, his Madea accent.
Oh, I just can't believe.
So,
compare me to Madea.
Alert.
Yeah.
He is. So you're probably going to hear my grandson wake up. You know, he's kind of in the room by himself, but we're here. So John chapter 4, verse 15 says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." So as we know, we've been in this chapter for a long time. Little did I expect when I began this that it would really be such a verse-by-verse expository on this scripture, but the Lord has just revealed so much in this chapter, so much more than we ever really think about when we read this passage of scripture. And so going verse by verse and really hearing God speak to us in each verse and how he has changed this woman's life. We are now at a point where Jesus is dealing with her thirstiness. She's thirsty. He came to the well and asked for something to drink, but he's dealing with her being thirsty. And so, you know, I'm wondering how thirsty we are. And as I began to look at this scripture, being thirsty, you want to look up the word thirst, and it is a Greek word, dipsao, and it means to suffer thirst, to suffer from thirst, but figuratively, it means those who are said to thirst, who painfully feel their want to and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And so... You know, this woman was coming to the well, and she was coming to satisfy a natural need. Yet Jesus came and needed to satisfy her spiritual thirst. She has heard him talk, and he's asked her for water, and she thought that it was strange that a Jew would ask her, being a Samaritan woman, for something to drink. And you know, then she kind of points out to him, you don't even have anything to draw with. You know, how are you going to ask me for something to drink and you don't have anything to draw from this well? And, the first question is, why are you asking me? And Jesus replied to her, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me and I'd give you living waters. Understanding that living waters are waters that flow. And so this was a well, and a well can have a natural source that it comes through the ground and fills the well, but the well also takes in water from the rains and everything. And so this well had been dug by Jacob, and it had been there from the times of Jacob, and she is there drawing water from it still, hundreds of years later. And now Jesus is sitting there. He's thirsty. He's been traveling for several hours now, and he's trying to get back to Galilee, and he comes on the edge of the well. It's noontime. He's hungry. The disciples go get something to eat. And this woman comes, and he says, give me something to drink. And she questions why a Jew would be asking me this. When he says that I would give you living waters, I'll give you waters that flow, she's like, who are you to say that to me? And so she's like, sir, who are you? And even in this passage, she says, sir. And when we kind of think of the word sir, you know, when we're addressing a gentleman, sir, it's just kind of yes, sir, no, sir. And, you know, it's kind of a respectful thing. But then again, sir, what are you saying to me? Not always. But in this sense of the word, when someone in the Bible was addressed as sir, when a man was addressed as sir, it means curios, and it means he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding, master, or lord. He is the possessor and dispossessor of a thing, or the owner, one who has control of a person. He's the master in the state. He's the sovereign prince, the chief, the Roman emperor as such. But it's also a title of honor, expressive of respect and reverence with which servants greet their masters. The title is also given to God the Messiah, sir. And so this woman begins to address him as sir, simply because he said to her, I have water to give you. I have living water. If you had asked me, then I would have given you living waters. And so she's beginning to question him. And she says to him in verses 11 and 12, she starts to question who he is and how much wealth he has. And she asks him if he's greater than our father, Jacob. Because again, Jacob has given the well. Jacob gave the well, and the well had lasted all those years. As a matter of fact, you can still go to Israel and see Jacob's well, and you can actually take water home from Jacob's well. So it's something that, yeah, I know, I'd love to do it. You know, it's something, it's amazing that thousands and thousands of years later, this well actually still provides water. And so she says to him, you know, Jacob, our father, made this well. He dug this well, and he and his children and his cattle drank from it. And he left it for us, and we're still drinking from it. Are you greater than Jacob? You're greater than our father, that you can give me a well that gives me living water, that I don't have to come back here. And this well is still here after all these years. And so we can even look at it from our point of view that this well is still there and it still works. And so are you greater than our father, Jacob? So now she's starting to recognize that, you know, you're saying you can do better than this. You're someone to talk to then. And we have to, you know, really put in mind who this woman is. You know, she's this woman who is sitting there, and this guy is coming to her as she's coming to the well, an odd hour of the day. And he's saying, give me something to drink. And she's like, who are you to ask me that? You're a Jew and you're asking me water. And he says, you should have asked me and I would have given you living water. She's looking and there's this thing going on, and it's almost as if from her point of view, there's been this proposition that's taken place. And ask me and I'd give you living water. In those days, there was the well, like you went out to the well, that was a central location. But those who were wealthy had wells. Sometimes they lived near a source of water, a flowing source of water, and they had their own wells. And so if you were wealthy enough, you lived close enough to the source that I can dig my own well and I don't ever have to go out with everybody else to get my water. And he's saying, I'll give you that. You'll have your own source and it'll be a well springing up in you. So, you know, here she is being propositioned probably in her mind that I have what you need because I recognize that you're here at an hour of the day that you don't come out and draw water. Water was generally drawn in the evening. And it was generally drawn by the younger girls who were unmarried. So we have this instance where this woman, who probably wasn't all that young, coming out to the well in the middle of the day, and she's drawing water for life's necessities, not just to drink from, but they had to have it to for their any cattle that they may have. They had to have it to bathe. They had to have the water. Here, she thinks that she's being propositioned. And as a woman, we can kind of look at it as, oh, he's offering me something. Remember, this woman had been married 5 times. And the man she's with now, the 6th man, is not even her husband. And Jesus says to her, if you had asked me, I would have given you living water. So she's somewhat feeling propositioned, but and she's not afraid to move on from this last guy because he's not willing to commit to me. This guy's willing to give me a well. He's willing to give me a place that I can go where I don't have to come out. And so that's why she says to him, give me this water that I thirst not and neither come hither to draw. She's saying, I don't have to be thirsty anymore. Thirsty in the sense of going from man to man to man and getting what I want. But you can settle me. Now, her problem has been presented to the Lord. Now she kind of says to him, yeah, I'll move in with you. Yeah, I'll go with you. I'll be with you if you can take care of this need for me. She doesn't realize yet. Yeah.
When you go back to the Greek word for sir that was used, mm-hmm. didn't you say it could be used for the Messiah? And she used that to mm-hmm. refer to him. Mm-hmm. So children, mm-hmm. they recognize their parents. Mm-hmm. They know that they're safe, that they're going to be mm-hmm. provided for there. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was something like that, like...
She has not recognized yet.
Maybe just like... The baby will know if he hears one of our voices.
That he's safe.
That he can be around us. He might not be able to say, you're my grandma. Mm-hmm. You're my grandpa. You're my mom. But he knows that's a safe space for him. So maybe mm-hmm. she knows that that's a not just, oh, I have no problem leaving the 6th man because he's not committing to me. This one's going to provide what I...
But not yet.
But maybe she just had that inner feeling that this is, I can trust him.
That feeling comes later.
Oh.
I feel that feeling comes later in later verses because the next verse says, Jesus says, go call thy husband and come hither. Mm-hmm. And he and she has to tell him other things. And so now she's beginning to realize this is not just a sir who is a man to be reverenced because of his position in life, because mm-hmm. of his station, because he's wealthy, because he's that kind of person. Then she says, you know a little bit about me. You must be a prophet. And so now the sir becomes more of a respect. And as she continues conversation, now he reveals himself. He hasn't revealed himself. He's getting to that point. And so we kind of, she's kind of ignorantly talking to him, like, oh, I'll take whatever you have for me, not realizing who he is and what he can really do for her. She's not, Jesus said earlier that if you had asked of me, I would have given you living water. This is what he says in verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink. If you knew the gift of God, well, what is the gift of God? The gift of God is eternal life. That's his gift to us, that you will have eternal life. The gift of God is salvation. And so she's not understanding that the gift that he's able to give her is salvation. That I can change where you're going in life, in eternity. When he says, if you knew the gift of God, sometimes we think that the materialistic things are what we get from God only. Jesus is talking deeper, and she doesn't recognize yet the conversation that she's actually having with this man. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know who he is. From this passage, she doesn't even know who a Jesus is. She may not have even heard of the miracles that he had been doing, as he was still fresh in his ministry. And a lot of people had heard of him, but it was the Jews. He hadn't gone through Samaria yet. This was his must needs. This is him introducing himself to Samaria. And so in her ignorance, she's willing to say, okay, I'll take what you have for me. Because she's desperate in her life. She's desperate in her life. She's going from man to man to man to man, searching for a need that she doesn't even realize what that need is. And so she's thirsting for what she doesn't know. She's thirsting for what she doesn't understand yet. And she doesn't understand it because Jesus goes on to tell her, you don't even know what you're worshiping. And so here is this thirsty moment. Little did she think that going out to the well at this hour, with all eyes on me, knowing my life, everybody knows my life, that I'm about to meet a man that is going to change everything about me. And so it becomes, when do we actually recognize that moment in our lives? Jesus tends to meet us. God comes and meets us at the place of our thirst. He comes to that place where we go at inopportune times. It is something that we need, but we're there at an inopportune time. We're there at a time that is not the normal time for us to be doing it. Why? Because I don't feel like dealing with whatever else is going to go on. If I go when everybody else is there, then I'm going to have to deal with the looks. I'm going to have to deal with somebody saying something to me. I'm going to have to deal with people talking about me. And I just don't feel like doing that. And so if it's an inconvenience for me to go in the middle of the day, I know I'm going to get all hot and sweaty and it's going to be exaggerating on me. But I don't feel like dealing with that. But somewhere along the line, God is going to come meet us at that place of our need, that thing that we need every day, and say to us, I have living waters for you, waters that flow. I have a place that you won't have to worry about how I'm going to receive my necessity. The necessity that she went and got every day at this well, she was still thirsty the next day. But Jesus is saying to her, you won't thirst again when I give you what I have. The water that I have for you, you'll never thirst again because it'll be an ever-flowing source. You won't run out, in other words. You won't run out of water and have to come back to the well because I use too much. You know, it is... You know, it's going to be right there when you need it. It is just like before there was running water in the house, you had to go to the well. It's like not having a bathroom in your house and you got to go to the bathroom and you have to go outside to the latrine, you know, or go outside to the outhouse.
Me and Grandma.
I wouldn't make it. You know, and so now we have the convenience of having a bathroom in our house. Well, imagine when you could only take a bath once a week because you didn't really have running water in your house. Now we have running water that we can take a bath every day. We can take a shower. We can wash our clothes. We can wash our dishes right here with running water. Can you imagine not having running water in the house? We wouldn't be able to brush our teeth all day long like we do. You know? And so we take for granted the luxuries that we have today. Imagine if we didn't have it. We were blessed during this last storm that came through. We didn't lose power during the storm. Many of my customers did. And they just got power back last week. I had one customer who just got power back last Friday. That meant they couldn't run their air conditioner.
The people with wells, I think, didn't have
water. They didn't have water. Exactly. So imagine the thirst. Imagine what they had to go through. Not being able to take a shower in all the heat that we were having. It's not like it was cool. It was hot last week. It was in the 90s and it was humid. And so they couldn't be free to go take a shower. God is saying to you that what I have for you gives you that freedom. He blessed us to be in an area that wasn't hit. And so we were able to wash our hair. We were able to take our showers when we got hot. We can have a nice cold cup of water. We had that. And that's a blessing from God. And that's what he's saying he wants to give. But we all too often, people are looking at the materialistic side of it. They're looking at just, I won't have to be inconvenienced anymore. It's always going to be there. She looked at him and said, are you greater than our father Jacob? Because Jacob's well is still here. And so can we say today, we know him to be greater than Father Jacob? Yeah, because Father Jacob's well is still there and it's still producing some water, not as much as it used to be, and it's not as deep as it used to be, but it's still giving off water. what God has given us by placing His Spirit inside of us, that we have joy and that we have peace and that we don't have to worry about everything else, that He always provides for us. He provided for us even last week in a storm where we didn't lose power. Think of the times that we've been snowed in. Pops can tell us about the time that the storm came and we had, what, 11 feet here?
40 inches.
40 inches, sorry. That's a lot of snow when I said 11 feet.
I was like,
yeah. 40 inches of snow. Yeah. 40 inches of snow, and he had the twins here, and they couldn't open up the door. The front door didn't open to the house because there was snow up to the front door. He literally had to go to the garage, open up the garage door, and he and Dante had to dig a tunnel to get out. So, yet God provided a way for him to be able to get out the house. Because imagine people who didn't have a garage to be able to open up the door and figure out a way out. He always provides a way of escape that we're able to bear things. And we have that hope that it doesn't matter what happens, God is always going to provide. It doesn't matter our situation, God is going to take care of us. It doesn't matter what station we are in life and what we've done, God is going to come through for us. And that He is concerned for us. He's concerned about every aspect of our lives, and He will go out of His way to reach us. The Jews didn't go through Samaria. They went around. If they went through Samaria, it was a 3-day journey. If they went around Samaria, it was a 5-day journey. But because of the relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't want to encounter them. But Jesus knew that there were people there that I've got to talk to, that I've got to reach. And there's a woman coming to a well that is going to be instrumental in an entire town coming out to meet me. And so I'm going to have to meet her, and I'm going to have to get to the core of her situation and help her understand who I am so that she can then do what God has intended for her to do. And so when we think about this, we need to be willing to be vulnerable when God sends that person to meet us at that place, to meet us at our well where we are thirsting, to meet us at the place of our inconvenience, at the time of our inconvenience. It's not the place of our inconvenience, but the time of our inconvenience. In the place of our need, He meets us at the time of our inconvenience, in the place of our need, so that He can now say to you, let's deal with why you are here at this time. Let's deal with the underlying issue, and let me show you who I am so that I can show you who you are going to be, so that I can make you who you are to be. Jesus would go on to make this woman a town crier. She would go on and leave that well and go to the entire town and say, come see a man who told me everything there is to know about me. Isn't this the Messiah? Because even they believed that there was a Messiah. And so we have to understand that God is sending us all to a place, but we have to come at our inconvenient time to the place of our need so that He can send us forth and tell everybody to come see a man, because it doesn't matter who they are. Jesus has a must-needs moment for them so that they too can hear. As Paul went on to say, he kept going to the Jews. As he went into every town, he would go to the Jews. He would go to the synagogue, and he would begin to try and convert those sitting there and those teaching, and by teaching them who the Messiah is and who Jesus really was. And when they finally didn't want to listen to him again, he says, you know what? That's fine, because I've done this enough. Now I'm going to take this gospel to the Gentiles, and they will hear. It is time for us to understand that we have to be thirsty enough to come at that inconvenient time to the place of our need, so that God can send us on to those that normally wouldn't even have any dealings with him. We are the ones who are going to have to say, come see a man that told me everything there is about me. You know everything there is about me, but he shouldn't have known. That person told me, and I want you to meet him. And so are we thirsty enough to come at that inconvenient time for God to deal with our need? For God to help us deal with our need, and we can then go on and tell others to come see about a man. So they're going to sit quietly, but we've gone a little longer than I normally do, but I thank God for you being here. I thank God for my husband and my daughter sitting with me in this lesson. We praise God for the lesson. I hope that it has touched somebody to know that even when you are thirsting and you have to get to that inconvenient, to that place of need at an inconvenient hour, that you know that God is going to meet you there, and that you allow him to talk to you and to bring up those things in your life that are causing you to have to do things the way you're doing them. But you're thirsty. And God knows that there is a thirst inside of you that can never be satisfied by coming when you're coming. Understand that this woman came to the well at noontime. It was the heat of the day. And so it's going to make her thirstier. And so she's going to use up the water quicker than what she normally would if she came at the right hour. But this is the right hour right now. Even though it is an inconvenient time for you to do this, it is the right hour. Because Jesus wants to meet you. He wants to meet you there so he can deal with things and change your life forever. He wants to reveal to you who he is. He wants you to understand that now is the time that worship of the Father in spirit and truth, you're seeking for him. You're searching for him. And now is the hour that he is here. Now is the time that he is meeting you. He's meeting you at your well. Whatever the need is, whatever the thirst is that you are having, Jesus is here. And he wants to give you living waters that will spring up in you to everlasting life. If you need to talk to someone, please reach out to me. My email is yvette@theappointedencounter.com. Drop me an email, and I'm more than happy to reach out to you and lead you in the way so that God can continue to deal with you. God wants to give you everlasting life. He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. But you have to realize that there comes a time that you have to be willing to come to him and let him deal with those issues. Let him let you know that he knows everything there is about you, and he's going to change it for you. Again, thank you for listening. God bless you and keep you. I pray that you are safe, that you are doing things safe. I pray the angels to protect you. I pray that no harm come to you. I pray that any disease that is seeking you out stop in its track. I pray safety for you and your family. I pray for your friends, your loved ones. I pray for you as you go in and out of the workplace. I pray for you as you go in and out of everyday life, that God keep you, that he protect you. I pray for every area of this country. I pray as things are becoming very tight, I pray for your finances. I pray for your peace of mind. I pray for peace in your cities. I pray for rest in your city. I pray that the violence stop. I pray that schools are able to return. I pray for our children as they return. I pray for the teachers and the administrators. I pray even as our leaderships, our governors and our mayors have decisions to make about returning to schools and returning to work and opening up the states. I pray for the economies. I pray that you are able to pay your bills. I pray that the blessings of the Lord flow in your life. I pray that God provide the finances that you need to live. I cover you in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the forces of the adversary in the name of Jesus. Thank you again for listening. Please like and share this podcast, wherever you are listening. Like and share it with anyone that you know. Like and share it with everyone that you know, that it may be a blessing to them as well. God bless you and keep you. And until next time, blessings, grace, and peace.